Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And tonight, I have kind of a great guest on. She's going to be fun. And we're going to be talking about spirituality is sexy. But putting those two words together, people go, But let's bring Pamela on. So, Pamela, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, Pamela, you talk about spirituality is sexy, and you've gone through some of your own transformations, and you really want other people to be okay. Is that how I kind of...
That's right. Gosh, where do you start with that? I could... It's what my whole book has been written about. It's, you know, funny, I do want to touch on you. It said, you know, spirituality and sexy. It's really about this. Spirituality is going within yourself and finding your true purpose, really letting spirit lead the way, and how do you do that? And it's interesting, a lot of people are opening up to this because when they hear the word spirituality is sexy, it's really a play on words. So people think spirituality and sex. Well, not really. Sexy meaning it's very hip, it's very fresh, it's very fun to be spiritual. If you live with the mindset that you can go within and allow spirit to lead your way, miracles happen in your life and great things can happen. And certainly my life has been a testimony to that.
Which is always important because, you know, if you're going to talk about something, you know, as hard as it is, it's good that you've gone through it because then you can help explain it to other people who think they're very much alone with it.
You know, and that's what really inspired me to start down this path and write this book. I tell you, I've been there and done that in terms of I have been financially broke, emotionally broken, and spiritually dead. So, you know, you have a lot of life there that I lived that finally the light started shining. And at that point in my life, there wasn't such a thing as a spirit coach like what I do. You know, I did go through some therapy at that time, and really through the grace of God, certain people came into my life, and I started really recognizing that if you just take little bitty steps, and I'll give you an example of this. I had been through marriage, my previous marriage, and it was very devastating on a lot of levels. And my life, and I had lived through some real turmoil there in terms of this guy ended up being a drug addict. I didn't know that. I was very unfamiliar with what that looked like. I certainly understood that he wasn't coming home and he was gone for days and, you know, disappearing and cheating on me and where's the money going, and you're going through all of this struggle. Well, there came a point, I had been married to him 4 years, so about 3 years into this, I was just at my lowest point that I've ever been to in my life. And it was a day that after numerous times of, you know, I tell people this, and can you imagine waking up or taking a phone call, oh, it's your husband coming home from work and he doesn't show up? This used to go on with me, you know, 2-3 nights a week. And then he'd show up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and as I have been up all night frantic, crying, wondering, you know, he's cheat, what's going on here, that I basically just get shoved aside, and he takes a shower and leaves and goes to work. Well, after years of this, and, you know, it's real sort of mentally abusive, emotionally abusive to you, that I just called in sick one day at work, and I sat on my bathroom floor. And I didn't time this, but I recall this as being almost all day. I would say half a day, 4 or 5 hours. I didn't move. I was contemplating killing myself because we were so financially devastated, I felt like I couldn't leave him. I was miserable, you know, just being emotionally completely drained. And I had no life at that time. I really no support network. You know, I just didn't know what to do because at that time, I mean, I have a very close family and I had friends, but I wasn't telling anybody that any of this was going on. For whatever reason, I felt like I needed to hold that in. So long and short, after about 4 hours of sitting on a bathroom floor trying to figure out, you know, how am I going to do myself in, I just kept getting this message in my mind. This entire time, two little miracles in my mind were happening. One is that I kept just hearing this voice, whatever you want to call that, saying, you are not meant to live this way. God does not want you to be this unhappy. That kept going through my mind. God does not want you to be this unhappy. Marriage is not supposed to be like this. And then my cute little Pomeranian, who I have to this day, sat right next to me and did not move. And if anyone out there listening has a Pomeranian, they know what a great feat that is, because these are very energetic and lively dogs. And he did not leave my side and just stared at me. He could sense there was real trouble there. And I tell you, through those two things, I finally just said, you know what, I cannot do this. I have to do something with my life. And I got up off the bathroom floor and I made some changes. I think I left him about a month later. But the thing is this, it was the very next day that I had Oprah on TV. And she had a little segment that was about being grateful. And she was talking about grateful journals, about writing down 10 things every day that you're grateful for. And at such a hard time in my life, I just was like, well, gosh, you know, what do I have to lose? I'm going to try it out, meaning that what you're grateful for allows more of that to enter your life. So I started this little journal. And I tell you what, it was, what I'm saying is, one of those tiny little steps that make a huge difference. And I kept that journal. I have that journal today. And to give you some insight on my journal, I was writing down things like, I was glad to have lunch. Mm-hmm. You know, so where my life was, and this has been, gosh, this has been over 10 years ago that this all occurred. And where I'm at today, it has been a very long journey. But having said that, there are ways you can get through this more quickly than what I did. I just sort of was piecing things together and learning as I went. Now there are brilliant things, you know, like me. I'm a spirit coach, so I help other people do this. Mm-hmm. And another thing I like to point out is to say that not everybody has to go through so much adversity as I went through. I now know, and I'm grateful for having that, because I recognize, had I not gone through that, I wouldn't be writing about this. I would not be speaking about this or coaching people to do better in their lives. So it's all meant for a purpose, and I'm just so happy, and I've released all of the unforgiveness that I had towards my ex-husband. I did that years and years ago, and I tell you, it is amazing what wonderful things can enter your life if you just get yourself on track.
Which, and I agree with you, Pamela, you know, because when I do my coaching, you know, my intuitive coaching with people, most of the people that come to see me are having some really, really bad emotional problems, whether it's because they're married or they're in a relationship, mm-hmm. and they don't seem to want to get out of it. And you kind of look at them and they go, well, do you like being miserable? You know, really.
Because you sound just like me, because I said to a person one time, I said, and I say this a lot on TV shows, man, I've been on some TV shows, I believe I've said this too. I said, you know, you get to a point in your life that, you know, they have that saying that if you continue to do the same things, you get the same results. Why on earth, if you're knocking your head up against a wall, and everyone can relate to this, I was that person who I would wake up in the morning and I would just, it would almost bring me to tears. My life, I had no joy going on in my life at all. And if you're that person, there are some real changes that need to happen, but people become comfortable. So living in a fear, what I call a very fear-based type of situation, it may not be that you're happy, because obviously you're unhappy, which is a sign that you're out of balance, but what happens is you become complacent because that's all you know. And you don't really think that you can make any changes. And if you do, you really don't see the light. So what I am telling you is, I have been there, and the very slightest step forward will reap enormous benefits. Whether it's keeping a grateful journal or whether it's opening your mind to a higher consciousness, start reading different kinds of books, you know, like that was one of my keys that I write about in my book. By the way, I wrote this book. I'm just now seeking agent representation, but my book is called Pauper to Princess, 12 Keys to Unlock Your Inner Richness. And the 12 keys, one of those keys is being well-read. So what changed for me, like, you know, some people go, well, you know, I'm not going to do anything differently. I went and to the bookstores, and I started reading some things that really took me out of my comfort zone. I would go to the New Age sections, the spiritual sections, and the self-improvement sections, and I would pick books that were a little, like I'd read them and go, you know, oh my gosh, you know, is this really possible or true? And some really valid things started sticking with me because I just figured, I don't know, maybe I was blessed with, I just figured at that point I had been through it all. What did I have to lose? You know, to branch out and try something new. So what you're saying is so true. People just, why do you want to be miserable? Because they don't know any better. They don't know that they really can have a life that's filled with love and joy. And I tell you, listeners, spirituality is your way. It really is the way to find your inner peace and happiness.
Mm-hmm. The other line I use with a lot of people, Pamela, after I've been talking with them for a little bit, I just look at them and I go, you know, you got to get out of your own pity party box.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at me like, what? It's like, yeah, all you got to do is just stick like a couple toes out of where you're at right now. Just stick a couple toes out of there and feel that different energy and see if it doesn't feel better.
Exactly.
Because if it feels better, then stick your foot out. And then
that's
if
right.
that works,
small
stick
step.
Your leg out.
Well, it doesn't, you know? And that's what I keep, you keep saying. You take a little step, and what you're saying is true. It's the same analogy. It's one step in front of the other. You're not going to change the world overnight, but you know what? You can change a lot of things by just doing something to show yourself that you love yourself, that you care for yourself. And you know what? I tell you, I preach this. It is your divine responsibility to step outside the box and find your inner purpose. And I had a lady come to me one time in my coaching, and she said, gosh, you know what? On the outside, I mean, my life really isn't bad. I like my job. I love my family. I'm not having any real problems, but this is why I'm turning to you. There is just something that keeps telling me in my mind that there's more to my life than this, that there's something else I should be doing. And, you know, that's another good point. It's like, well, you've got the people that really need some help, and then you've got people that go, gosh, my life is good, except for I'm waking up and I just know that there's something missing and I can't quite get to it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just a lot about... you know, I always try to open that door because I don't want people to hear, and I repeat this, you don't have to go through as much adversity as I went through to change your life or to discover the joy or the passion that you may hold in your heart and make those things become a reality.
Right. Now, you also, you know, in part of your bio that you have, and I find this interesting, is you talk about how, you know, you had kind of a struggle with the Catholic roots.
Mm-hmm.
And with your quest for inner spiritual happiness and balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think many, many people have that same struggle, Pamela,
yes.
And they don't quite know because people equate religion and spirituality as the same, and
yes,
it isn't.
Nancy, this point I love, and I tell you, I was just in Connecticut doing Better CT, the TV show up there, and this was the biggest topic because they're in, she said, like the second largest state for Catholicism, and here I am. I was born and raised Catholic. Well, this is the thing. Religion and spirituality are not the same thing. Anybody from any religious faith can be a spiritual person. So I use this analogy. If you go to church every day or whatever your faith is and you have, you know, you're going to temple, you're going to church, whatever that looks like, that's wonderful. That doesn't mean you're a spiritual person. On the flip side, you could be going to church and you could be also very spiritual inside. So the difference is this, when you're in an organized type of faith, you know, it's part of, you're building a community, you're, you know, making friendships with people that all believe in a common theme, and that is wonderful. But spirituality is about yourself. So you do spirituality in your own heart. You keep hearing me say it's going within yourself and finding what is your heart telling you to do. And you can do different things. You can meditate. You can exercise. You can take time for yourself. You can read self-improvement or spiritual books, and it all leads you to healthier living. And I say this on my website. It really breaks down to 3 points in my mind. You have to learn how to cleanse and heal your body, open your mind to a higher consciousness, and live your life with loving intentions in your heart. That's about becoming spiritual, and you can't get there if you don't start digging into what's going on inside yourself, and that looks like a lot of different things, a lot of chatter that you're telling yourself. I meet so many people, and the root issue is just that they really don't love themselves. Well, I tell you that whatever you hold deep down in your subconscious, whether you realize it or not, is what you put out to the world. So if you are in a situation where, you know, I see this a lot, I help couples too, where they're in relationships that are unloving and they're not kind to each other, and, you know, you've got friends that don't really care about you, or maybe this started with your family that you didn't feel loved growing up. What happens is you think you've healed those things, but really you haven't, and you keep getting that back in your life. So if I'm deep down, I would say my mind is going, oh, yeah, I love myself. Sure, I love myself. Although when I break down my mental chatter, I'm telling myself how fat and ugly I am all day. You know, it's true. So what you have to get to is, what is it that's inside? Because that's what's mirroring outside in your life. That's what you're getting. And if you don't heal that, you keep getting that. Those are your challenges, and each person has their own challenges. It could be, I don't love myself, I don't feel good enough, I don't feel smart enough. You know, there are a lot of different fear-based things that are going on that you've got to get to, and I help people do that, and I'm sure you do too.
Yeah, and so important. Pamela, could you give out your website for people?
Oh, yeah,
so
I'd love
to. It
it's www.spiritualityissexy.com.
Do it again.
www.spiritualityissexy.com, and it's all one word.
Okay.
Doesn't have to be capitalized.
Now, is your new book printed already where people can get it from someplace?
It's not. No, I just now, I tell you, I've been so busy you're out speaking and doing, and I've been working on this book, but in nonfiction writing, you do something called a book proposal. So I am just now seeking agents to represent me. And, yeah, my hope is that my book will be out this year. So keep in tune with my website, and that will update on all of that.
Okay, now give out the name of your book again.
Yes, it's called Popper to Princess, 12 Keys to Unlock Your Inner Richness. And you're going to know that I do everything as a play on words. Popper to Princess was my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a metaphor for being, you heard me say the words, emotionally broken, spiritually dead, and financially basically wrecked. And how did I change my life? I came up with these 12 keys because when I really started looking back, something came to mind. You know when The Secret came out? It's a wonderful book about affirming the positive, and I loved it because it opened a lot of people's hearts to affirming the positive. The thing is that there are all these other things that you also have to do to change your life. You can do that, and it can make changes, but it's one step. It's not all the steps. And so when I started really reflecting back and knowing that I wanted to write this book, I came down to 12 real steps that I did that really changed my life. And it's a combination of all these things. And really becoming spiritual is a way that you live your life, because now when I look at these 12 steps, it's not like you just do the 12 steps and then you stop. It's sort of like you incorporate these in your life. It's a healthier, more well-balanced way of living. And once you learn how to do this, it becomes so easy. It's second nature, and you live that way. And that's when people call it being in the flow. When you really start getting into this mode where all great things are happening all the time, and even though we have learning lessons, they don't have to be the huge roadblocks that were in your past. So it's about changing your consciousness a bit, but also changing so that you're living in a way that's more healthy, is what I'm going to call it. Healthier living.
I think a lot of people, Pamela, really need to learn how to live healthier, and I'm not talking about food-wise.
Yeah, right.
I'm talking about just their emotions in general, because the majority of people today are running in fear, running in panic, and running in worry.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take those three things and you constantly shove them inside of you, which is what they're doing, it is only going to create that same kind of constant energy coming to you over and over again.
That's right. It's a snowball effect, what you're saying, and that's true. Whatever is inside is what is mirroring outside. And you're right. When you're at that level, it's hard to break free because you get in the little snowball circle where it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the same happens when you break free of that. So now you're living a healthier life, a more spiritual life or whatever, and it's the big snowball effect, but it's a good snowball. It's not a muddy snowball anymore.
Which is true.
Good things are happening, and you're seeing the synchronicity of life, and that's when, and I tell people, and it sounds kind of crazy, but I truly believe if you don't have miracles occurring in your life, there's a problem. There's something out of balance because it's your gift from God to be living a life that's based on peace, love, happiness. You know, obviously more things, forgiveness and abundance and these sorts of things. But if you're not living a life like that and you're really out of balance, unhappiness is where you start because that's the key indicator of telling you something is wrong.
I agree. You've also written a few articles, and let's talk about them a little bit. One is called How to Argue Without Ruining a Marriage. So in a marriage, if people don't say anything, and then they finally do this big explosion and start to say everything, how does that work?
Yeah, well, you know, it's like this. Oftentimes what happens is, first of all, the reason the blow-up occurs is because people aren't communicating at all. So I tell my clients that you have to set time to communicate every single day, and you cannot miss a day. Now, whether that looks like you're speaking 15 minutes a day or 35 minutes a day, you have to start somewhere because absence of communication is not going to make your marriage go stronger, and that's typically when you're holding back, you're too busy. It's a chaotic life, right? You're both working, you have kids, you've got all this, so you think, well, you know, we just don't have time. We're tired at the end of the day. You know what? The communication and the marriage is what is really central because, again, it's within that that all things stem. So make time for communication and don't skip that. And then when you start communicating, speak to your spouse, I call it a language of love, where you're really speaking from a place of, like, they're your best friend. Would you ever speak to your best friend the same way you would a spouse when you're angry? No, heavens no, you wouldn't have any friends if you did that. So you've got to step back sometimes, even if sometimes it takes you being the first person to do these things. But start speaking from a place of truly learning and, you know, not the defensiveness and the fear that, because again, you get back to fears. Is this person love me? You know, maybe you have a fear of abandonment or, you know, there are a lot of issues there. But if you make time every day, then a lot of things won't build up, so you don't have the big blow-ups and verbal sparring, as well as speak kind words and, you know, use that power of positive affirmation and do nice things. Again, another thing couples do is kindnesses are the first thing that go out the door. So think back to when you got married. Like I always say, for me, my husband really knows that I'm a girl that likes flowers. That just really makes me feel loved and special. And he's the type of guy that, you know, Kent likes me to make a good set of brownies for him. You know, it's learning and remembering what is it that this person really likes, a little card or a text message throughout the day, an email. It could be a number of things. And taking time for each other, the communication, turn the TV off, communicate, go for a walk, do something to reconnect.
And again, I think those are all real important because, you know, people, for whatever reason, Pamela, they run really short with emotions in general, and a lot has to do, I'm sure, with the way the world is today. But they really do need to take a step back and be a little bit more kinder to each other.
Absolutely.
And actually be willing to talk about it.
You know, let me give you an example of something that happened to me just Friday. I was at in Dallas. I live in Dallas, Texas, and I was invited to a Planned Parenthood luncheon, a luncheon that supports Planned Parenthood. So I was, you know, at this table, and there was new people. I didn't know anyone at the table, and you're talking and meeting people and whatnot. And it was midway through, right? Blythe Danner was the keynote speaker, and this lady sitting next to me grabbed me, and she said, and I can't remember her exact words, but it was something like, "You know what? I have so enjoyed getting to know you, and just by sitting next to you, I feel good because you are putting out such good vibes." And,
good.
You know, I looked at her, and it was so shocking, you know, just to have such a lady I've never met before give me such a nice compliment. I did. I grabbed her, and I said, "That is one of the nicest things anyone has ever told me." And it has sat with me all week. So what I am saying, you can really look up in the grocery store at someone who you think may be having kind of a hard day and give them a smile or open a door for somebody or just comment on something, compliment someone, and it can make a huge difference in somebody's day.
Mm-hmm.
We forget to do those things because we get so wrapped up in our own world and working and in this chaotic time that we're going through. But I tell you, that is the time to pull back even more and to really start surrounding yourself with people that really, I talk about energy a lot, about that vibe that you feel, because it's really, that's when you're letting spirit lead. Like when you are in a place and you just have a sense about something makes you feel good and something doesn't make you feel so good, you heed the word of that call. You surround yourself by people that uplift you, give you great energy, make you feel good, and you sometimes have to cut ties with people that don't make you feel that way. And I say sometimes those people can be in your families, they can be close friends that maybe something has started changing where you don't have a good vibe about that anymore. You must respect that call, because I tell you, there has never been a time, and I've challenged every one of my clients, have you ever had a time where your gut instinct told you not to do something and you did it, and did it ever turn out good? Never, not one time. And so, okay, that's about letting spirit lead. And for some people, it's just as simple as that. It feels good, you do it. It doesn't feel good, heed that call and don't do it anymore. We've got to surround ourselves by good people that uplift you and good things.
Which is also true. One of your other articles is your first step to a spiritually sexy marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was reading that, I thought, that sounds like kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Would you like to talk about that one a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So it gets back to kind of the same principles. I talked about some of these, but, you know, again, you could even talk about mutual, you know, ascension. If you as a couple wanted to both become more spiritual, and you find this sometimes and sometimes you don't. Sometimes it's just one or the other, but utilizing the principles, and I'll talk a few about a few of these. For instance, in a marriage, giving is receiving. And really understanding the concept that, you know, here's what is not giving is receiving. You come home from work, and I'm using this, if any gentlemen are out there listening, I do not, this doesn't sound good for the guys is what I'm saying. I'm just using this as an example, that you come home from work, and you've got kids, and the wife tends to be the person, and this is not the case in all scenarios, where you're cooking dinner, you're packing lunches for the kids, you're helping with homework, and your husband's sitting on the couch watching TV. What happens there, that's a negative situation a lot of times because there's a lot of pressure that starts building. And the reason this story, I'm telling this, and I tell it in my book, it was one of my girlfriends that said this to me one time. She said, "I would like to get a shotgun and blow out the TV. Because here I am, I'm doing all of these things. My husband every night comes home, and wow, how great for him to be sitting and watching TV. I don't even get off my feet until 9 o'clock when the kids are in bed." So the thing is this woman is giving, but not from a place of good intention. So she's not getting anything good back by all that giving that she's doing because she's not honoring herself.
Mm-hmm.
So giving is receiving. You've got to remember what you give out comes back to you. And so you give from a place of good intentions and love. So if you are compelled to do something and to give to your husband, whether that be cooking him dinner, doing the laundry, sending a nice note. You do that because your heart really tells you that you want to do that. Forget about the outcome. Don't do it because you want to receive something. Do it because that's what makes you feel good. And so if you're not in a place that you can give from a good place, those are, again, gets back to some fear is driving, you know, what anger or resentment do you have that's building up? And you've got to learn, and there are tools to get those things sort of unstuck and get those out there and release them and remove them and forgive so that you can start giving so that you're getting. Because really and truly, this is a simple spiritual principle. What you give comes back. So if you want love, you have to be love inside, give that out, and that's what then starts surrounding you. If it's, you know, monetary things, if it's, you know, gosh, what else do people want to give out? Hey, people give of their time. You know, they give of their resources. There are so many things that you can give. So the question becomes, what is it that you really desire in your life? What is it that really, really you desire? What do you want to be receiving? That's what you learn how to start giving. And you don't give to get back. You start learning how to, what I'm talking about is getting unstuck, all those fear and resentment and anger so that you can really start giving and meaning it and not attached to an outcome. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Well, see, it does to me because, Pamela, a lot of the same things that you go out and talk about is what I tell people when I am counseling with them. So I know exactly what you're saying. Some people have a hard time with that concept because it's like, well, why do I have to give? And I don't think they quite understand that process of what you give is what you're going to get back.
So that's right. So, you know, having a spiritually sexy marriage, when I wrote this article, you know, I was really inspired by, you know, if two people can really come together and do these simple things and these steps that you take, and if they did that as a team and they both were open and wanted to learn, and how can we love ourselves first and how can we release so that we can be healthier? How can we learn to give and, you know, do this as a couple? You can really become such an incredible couple together. Not only are you doing this for yourself, but you're really doing it as a couple. And something my husband and I did is, and I do this in my own time, and that's what started creating this in my mind, is, wow, you should be doing this as couples too, not just for yourself. We did a visualization board as a couple. So we sat down one night, and we both wrote out for our marriage sort of what we felt like our higher purpose was. What did Kent and Pamela really get together to do here? What did we love about each other? What were our higher visions? I mean, we certainly knew that individually, but we did that as a team. Then we got together and we compared, and believe it or not, with us, we had pretty much the same vision for our marriage. Now, when couples do this and they find that they don't have the same vision for their marriage, that's really important, and that's a good thing, because what happens is that is the perfect opportunity to discuss that and get back on track. Because if you don't discuss that and that's never ever comes out and you start heading in separate directions, typically then there starts to be problems, because that's where you hear people growing a lot, apart a lot. So we found out that, hey, we really do have the same vision for our marriage. So then we take it a step further, and I went out and I bought all these magazines. We cut out pictures, and we did a visualization board that we have in our bathroom. And it's the higher purpose of our marriage. For instance, we both figured out that we wanted to, we're both people that like to give, and we want to have our own foundation one day. So this foundation is around the things that we're really there for, things that we're passionate about, spirituality, animals, kids, and the environment. Those are our four things, and we want our foundation to represent that. So we have a whole place on our visualization board about that. And then it's other things, like, for instance, I had cut out a tree, and in part of this foundation thing, and we came to this through our board. We knew that we both spend our time and we donate money, but we really got to, gosh, we really want to have our own foundation. Well, what got to that is I had cut out this picture of a tree, and I kept saying there's something about this tree, and then it dawned on me. I said, this tree represents to me in my mind sort of the abundance of life. you know, where you plant little seeds and they can grow into this magnificent, beautiful tree. And then that's what we wrote. This is the abundance of life, meaning that what you give is what you get back, and you can have all that you desire. And this seems like big fairy tale stuff. You know, Kent and I are both from the Midwest. We did not have big fairy tale lives. You know, I grew up in a farming community, and his was very similar. But, you know, we've been able to use principles in our life to really living our dream, you know? And everybody can do this. So visualizing is a very powerful tool, because you're getting clear in your mind on what you want by writing goals, but then by cutting out pictures of words and phrases and, sure, material items, you know, that would represent a lifestyle that you want. I was in a workshop. I'm doing a workshop one day, and I said, okay, you know, if the fairy godmother came down right now and said, I grant you one wish, what would that be? Well, most people raise their hand and say, well, I'd want a lot of money. Wrong answer. And I used to be the person who thought that, because money doesn't get you any closer to knowing what your mission is in life. And you can have $100 million and wake up every day and be miserable because you don't have a purpose in life. Well, I should say that you haven't uncovered your purpose in life.
You know what my wish would be?
Yeah. The visualization board helps you start uncovering what is it that makes your heart beat and get excited. Those are the things you need to focus on, because in there lies an answer.
Do you know what my wish would be?
What's that?
My wish would be to have all the wishes that I want.
Smart woman, right? Keep recreating. Well, that's what we're doing. We're creating all the time in our minds. And I feel like I'm talking, but there's something else that comes up. I had said in a lecture one time that you can constantly upgrade or downgrade your life at any time, given what you're creating in your mind. And that's very true. So, for instance, if I were a person who maybe I thought I could never write a book, I'd just be lucky to write a book. Oh, my gosh, write a book, but who knows if I'd ever get published. Well, did you ever think you could write a book and you could get a very powerful agent and become a number one bestseller and have your own TV show and do all of these things? That's upgrading your vision. Where do you really want to go? Or do you just look and say, gosh, if I'm lucky, I'll just get an agent? So that's what I'm telling you. I'm just using examples of what I do, but you could do that in any industry. I would just be lucky if X happened. No, don't be lucky. Be grateful for it. And really, what's your higher vision? You know, do you just want to do X, or is there something even bigger that you really want to make happen? And start thinking about that in your mind. Allow those bigger dreams to come out. You know, imagination and creating is a wonderful thing, because sometimes what happens is, even when you're creating this big dream, other even better things start coming. But if you always downgrade your life and think you're going to be lucky just to have X happen, wow, you're really kind of selling yourself short.
Don't you think a lot of people right now tend to sell themselves short because, and I don't want to just blame it on one particular area, but because there's so many areas right now, Pamela, that people either don't understand or are very concerned about, and then they get caught up in that fear factor, and it goes into then the material stuff about, I don't have enough money, and I don't have this, and they constantly tell themselves they don't.
Yep. The biggest thing people could do right now is shut off every radio show and TV show that does not speak a positive message, because you're absolutely right. Fear-based emotions, there are two emotions that we have. It's fear-based or it's love-based. And negative media brings out fear-based emotions in people. So you made an excellent reference to, here we are. We're in financial crisis in the world, right? You've got doom and gloom every time you turn on the radio, the TV, whatnot. Turn it off. If you just disassociated with that from the sense that, sure, read the paper, do something, you want to know what's going on in the world, but you don't want to get caught up in that melodrama. Because then that feeds into the fears that you have about yourself, when ultimately, if you just tuned all of that out and started working on yourself, loving yourself enough to really start uncovering all of the fears that you have and releasing them, then you could look and view things in a different light. So, for instance, when you turn on, that's just negative programming. So start programming with shows that uplift you. It gets back to energy. If it feels good, it is. If you're, you know, watching this news station that doesn't make you feel good, turn it off. Don't worry about what's going on in the world. Worry about yourself first, because to change the world, you got to change yourself. That's what people don't get. It's one person at a time.
And they don't understand that it truly is an inside job.
That is
not
so
an outside
true.
Job.
That's right.
You know, the other thing, now you talk about children, and children to me are real important, and I think they're really getting the raw end of the deal most of the time now with what's going on.
Sure.
But, Pamela, do you think it would be wise and it would be really good to start with children at a, you know, at like a younger age, and start helping them to realize who they are so they can actually become all they want to be, rather than have them sit and watch the television, you know, only exercise their thumbs, you know, on the computers and stuff like that?
Yep. This is a huge passion of mine. And I'm the mother of two little boys, and my boys are 5 and 2. And what you are saying is so true. Unfortunately, again, what I'm seeing is happening is because as parents don't love themselves and can't seem to get that, they're not able to do this with their kids. So you're right. If you are together, then, yeah, you've got to be able to do this with your child. And, gosh, if you've got the strength, even if you're not together, to start really helping your child break those patterns again. In my household, the TV is never on. My kids are not around TV at all. And the only thing they watch are movies that we've chosen that I think are good for their spirit. They're, you know, whatever, Baby Einstein, or, you know, they love Spirit, the movie Spirit about the horse, you know, things that uplift them. And other than that, we do not have the TV on. So the thing is, though, what are you doing with your kids? Well, you've got to engage. It's not just about turning the TV off, but are you spending quality time? You don't have to be spending all the time with them, but you have to be spending quality time with them. And I really think from a spiritual point of view, understand that really the kids now are very in touch with their own inner spirits. Very. These young kids, they are in touch. And I tell you, let them lead you. Let them help you understand what is it the things they like to do. You get them outside in nature. Look how the little kids instinctively know that they love nature and love each other. And let them play. Let them do what they want to do. Don't program them at all. For instance, you know, my husband was an athlete in college. And here I've got two little boys, and we talked early on about, you know, thank goodness he's the type. He was like, I couldn't care less if either one of my boys were in athletics. It doesn't matter to me. So when we had our boys, what we did is, you know, they have all different kinds of toys. And we just let them gravitate to what they liked. And my oldest is huge into animals. Animals are his thing. He grew up around trucks and animals and dolls and Elmo and just like any of the other kids, but animals are his thing. Now we get him involved in activities, you know, soccer and all that stuff. But again, we don't dictate to them anything. My older one happens to love art. He's kind of an artist. So here we are. It's like, well, we've got a little boy, and art is his thing, and that's what we let him do, and we allow him to feel good about that. And now the younger one seems to like athletics more. You know, he likes to get out and do the trucks and the ball. You just let them guide you and recognize that these kids are very in touch, and they really are here to change the world. So unfortunately, though, I think we've got situations where we've got to really help the people. Now, another thing that I think about, even the kids, what you're saying, maybe, Nancy, is I look a lot at college kids about how we could really help college kids because, you know, when I was growing up and it was just wonderful, I mean, here I am going to this big university and whatnot, but I was never really guided. My parents never really, what do you want to do with your life? There was no structure there in terms, I had no clue. I think that's why it took me so long to really figure out what my passion is. I was in corporate America 20 years. I went through tons of careers. Oh, maybe this is it. No, none of this was it. So help your kids at an earlier age, in high school or even younger, to start really understanding. I do this. My kids are 5 and 2. We really nourish and encourage our boys. What is it that brings them passion? And that's what we surround them with. If it's the animals, it's the animals. If it's the trucks, it's the truck. You know, we really try to engage what they feel good about. And then take that on through their adolescent years into the, you know, the college. And really, because really it's not about getting out there and having your kids trying to make a dime. You know, a lot of people, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying,
right.
you certainly learn the value of money, but it's really about help nourish their inner spirit. What is it that really brings them passion? And find a way to help them study that, go to school for that, and learn how to make a living doing that. That's, to me, besides unconditional love, the best thing that you can give your kids.
Yeah, see, and I don't know if you know it, Pamela, but I have a 501c3 called A Child's Miracle Mind.
Oh, no, you're going to have to send me information about that.
But
that's great.
It's on my website.
Oh, good.
It's on
okay.
my website.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what it's really designed to do, I put it together for a very special reason, and it's because I have a really hard time with the children that they're labeling with ADD, ADHD, and giving them prescription drugs.
Me too.
I have a tough time with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I put this foundation together so that it's different alternatives, methods, using spirituality, the metaphysical world, help these children be who they are.
Oh, wow.
And try to help them get off these drugs.
Good for you. I love that. Thanks. I definitely want to check that out. Yes,
and
that
then,
you are right. And that verges into same subject with these kids that, you know, they are a little different, but drugs are not the answer for these children. I could talk for an hour just about that.
Oh, yeah, believe me.
Very well informed because you've already got a nonprofit set up there.
You know, and then the other leg of that, and I'm actually moving to New Mexico so I can open what's called the School of Now, which is a school that will never be outdated. And not only there will they learn the 1, 2, 3s and their ABCs, but mm-hmm. they will also learn all the spiritual and metaphysical things
they're
hungry for.
I am loving you. I love that. I had found out about a school that was like this. I don't know the name of it. It was in New York. And I mean, I have never been able to find a school like that here in Dallas. You know, we're in the Baptist Belt, so, you know, it's a little tougher, but I love that whole concept. I would love my boys to be able to go to a school like that. Good for you. You're doing some great things.
Yeah, I'm really trying. It's hard because a lot of people go, we can't do that, we can't do that. And it's like, yes, you can do this for these kids because they are the ones that are going to put the world back together. In fact,
mm-hmm.
my logo on top of it says, our hope, our future.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Okay.
You're right.
And it's
definitely
very true. You know, so
awesome.
To me, starting with children, you know, of all ages and working up to adulthood
mm-hmm.
is, you know, something that really needs to be done because the adults right now, not that I think they can't learn because they can if they want,
mm-hmm.
but it's the children that really need to be told, you are okay being who you are.
That's right. And because a lot of that negative programming, unfortunately, starts when you're little. And
mm-hmm.
the kids now are, you know, this gets very spiritual, but the kids now are very, the little ones are coming in, they're very advanced spiritually. They mm-hmm. inherently know this, but they also, in normal schools and whatnot, they feel different,
right.
you know, because they're not being taught in a way that nurtures that spirit piece, and that's what you're doing. So that's what's so great. I mean, it's very important. Yes, I'm an education part. Yes, you go to school, you go to college, you get the education, but you've got to nourish the inner spirit. That's part of the balance piece.
Mm-hmm. A big part. You know, so that's what trying. Do me a favor, Pamela,
yes.
and give out your website again, please.
Yes, thank you. It's www.spiritualityissexy.com, all one word. Spiritualityissexy.com.
Now, give out the name of your book again so people can recognize it when it does get out there.
Yes, Pauper to Princess, 12 keys to unlock your inner richness. And then, you know, if you're listening now and you think, oh, yeah, when the book comes out, you know, just email me. There are contact forms on my website, and you email me, and I will email you back, and I can just put you on a list, and I keep people updated with different things and whatnot.
Why don't you give out your email address?
Yes, www.spiritualityissexy.com.
Now your email, if somebody wanted to email you.
Oh, yes, my email is pamela@spiritualityissexy.com.
Okay.
And that's funny. So many people say, well, gosh, does it go right to her? She, yes, I still answer all my emails. I mean,
that's
you're emailing me.
Too.
I want to read. I mean, if I got so big one day that I couldn't even read all my emails, I mean, you know, come on. I'd love to hear from people. Absolutely.
No, I do too. And I, you know, people, when they call me and I answer the phone, they go, is this really Nancy? Well, yeah, it is. You know?
That's what makes our line of work so much fun. I mean, we're people. We love people. And really, it's true. Like I said, I can just be, I am in my element when I am just talking to people and getting to know people. I do have as well, and I don't know if you do, Nancy. If you do, I want a link, but on Facebook. I have met
I
some of the most incredibly spiritual and wonderful people on Facebook. I can't even tell you.
There's it's another just, one you might want to sign up for. It's called Psychic Faces.
Oh, I haven't heard of this one.
Yeah, it's kind of new. It's pretty interesting.
Oh,
yeah. It's on there, so check that out.
Okay, I
before
will.
Before we run out of time,
yes.
though,
mm-hmm.
you teach classes,
mm-hmm.
workshops.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell them what kind of workshops and what kind of classes and if you have any scheduled and, you know, and how they could become part of it?
Right. I quit scheduling for them only on sort of an appointment. I was out doing workshops, then I got really busy. I had this beautiful run with TV shows and radio shows, and I had to kind of back down on this. But this is what I do. I love to speak, so I go out and I do speaking engagements all the time, and then I always tell people, I had a lady call me, and she said, well, gosh, you know, she happened to be in Dallas, and they saw me on Good Morning Texas, and she said, we would love, I've got like a group of 15 girls, we would love to do a workshop, so I did one for them. So I'd love to do that sort of thing. But my workshop that I think really is the most successful and popular, it's called Your First Steps to Spirituality. And it's all of these same steps that I am writing about in my book. So obviously my goal is that when I'm out on book signing tour, that in bigger cities I'll set up these workshops or wherever people, I'll go wherever there's a crowd. I mean, if, you know, it doesn't matter to me if it's a big city or not. So anyways, but your first steps to spirituality are the 12 steps that I talk about in my book. And people are so interested in that because, again, a lot of people are recognizing that they would like to have this help, but they just don't have the tools. So it's a great workshop. It's very interactive. It's a lot of fun. I will schedule those when I'm on book tour for cities that can accommodate that. But for individual bookings, if someone says, hey, you know, I live in wherever,
mm-hmm.
and we've got a group of, because the workshop really could be anywhere from, I would say, 15 people to 50, 60, 70. It could be a large group of people. It's very effective that I'd come do that. Absolutely. I'd love to do that. It's my favorite thing
good.
To do.
All right. Now, just before we run out of time, give out your website and your email address again, please.
Yes, www.spiritualityissexy.com. And my email is pamela@spiritualityissexy.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you one quick question.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, if you could change something right now,
mm-hmm.
right now that's going on,
mm-hmm.
what would that be?
You know, it's funny you say this. I wouldn't change a thing. Because everything is exactly the way it's supposed to be right now at this time in my life. I am, this sounds crazy. I have people tell me all the time that meet me, my God, you are so happy. I am telling you, maybe because I have been through so much in my life and I've arrived, I wouldn't change anything, Nancy. I am exactly where I am meant to be at this time, and all great things are happening. So I'm so grateful for my life.
See, and that's how I feel when people say, don't you wish you could do it all over? It's like, nope, nope, learned a lot in my growth.
People like you and I recognize that all of the past has led up to where you're at now, and I wouldn't trade a bit of it. It was hard when I was going through it, and I didn't understand it then, but I understand now that every bit of that made me who I am today, and that's what I'm so grateful for.
Mm-hmm. And I think people, Pamela, really need to understand that they kind of chose what they needed to go through to learn what they're supposed to learn during this lifetime.
That's right.
And
that's right.
And for people to try not to do that only makes life a lot harder for themselves.
Right, because you're fighting up against destiny, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, I use that term. It could be called a lot of things. But, yeah, you've got – we're all here to learn. And the learning is helping us grow. And so if you can, again, learn to open your consciousness, get into that flow, doesn't mean that you still aren't learning and that, you know, I still have things that come up that hurt me or whatever. But what happens is I recognize and look at things a lot differently. So in a way, there's almost like a buffer that serves because I don't, like, had something like this happen to me years ago, I wouldn't have been able to emotionally handle it like I do today. You know, we all have lessons, but we're really here to learn, to evolve our souls, and to help each other. And so that's really when you're finding out, when I talk about your purpose and your mission, not only is it going to fill your soul with so much joy, it's always going to be a capacity that you're serving others, because that's what we're here to do.
Mm-hmm. And I agree 100%. Pamela, our time is actually just about up. It went by really quick.
Wow, yeah.
They usually do. So quickly give out your website and your email address one more time before we have to say goodnight.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Nancy. It's www.spiritualityissexy.com. And you can email me directly, Pamela@spiritualityissexy.
Great. Pamela, thank you for being part of the show. It's been fun. We'll have to do this again at a later date. And especially when your book gets out, we'll bring you back on.
Oh, Nancy, I would love that. Yes, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And for you, the listeners, if you'd like to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me through my website, which is www.nancys, that's N-A-N-C-Y-S, psychicresources.com. My email address is nwallace77@hotmail.com. So may God bless all of you. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Have a great week, and we'll talk next week. Take care. Bye now.